Guess who's here, Ireland?
Is Cap in studio?
Cappy is in studio.
Wow.
Yeah, he's pulling somebody over right now.
Love that.
There you go. Cappy, what is going on, man?
Mace, I'm coming in real hot today.
Good.
Bring the heat, man.
Bring the heat. What do you got?
Seriously, dude. Yep. I just drove to downtown LA.
Yep.
From South LA.
Yep.
And it was, you know, it was one of those afternoons.
Meaning?
A lot going on the roads.
Oh, yeah.
Which meant it took me a long ass time. Which meant I had to pee real bad by the time I got here.
Did you stop at a hotel?
I did not.
Oh. Because that's what you can stop at a hotel.
Well, 27 minutes of free parking. You know?
That's it.
Well, at least at the Hilton by the John Wayne Airport.
Yeah, he goes to the Hilton at the John Wayne Airport,
right.
John.
Right.
When that's your standard stop.
That's a standard stop.
I have two standard stops.
Halfway point.
Well, I have two. If it's bad, it's the Hilton at the John Wayne Airport. If I can hold it a little longer, it's Camino Capistrano, the inn.
Oh, I know that place.
You know the inn right there, right by the Mission?
Yeah. Oh, you only stop at the hotels, though.
Yeah, I only go to the bathroom at the hotels.
So I've got a piece of breaking news.
Really?
It's not serious breaking news, but let's pretend it's serious breaking news.
Okay. Let me
play this. It is being reported by multiple sources that on December 9, Scott Kaplan and I will be doing a show together at Black Gold in Yorba Linda.
Dude, it's about time.
For the first time, me and Cappy together doing a show.
It is about time.
Yeah.
Now, it's gonna be on. I think I'm going to be in Philadelphia
right, you're
that
not,
day.
You're not there that day. And Shinano's not available that day, right?
And also, because I think you're right, John, the Lakers are in Philly, me and Sedano get knocked off the air.
Yeah.
So that means let John Ireland do his thing.
Yep.
Let Jorge Sedano do his thing.
Yep.
And then...
Oh, man.
Dude.
I don't even know. I've said for a long time, you know, I think we're in that same sort of weird category. You know, the I'll go all in on
yeah,
anything
kind of
category.
Yeah, that's a two-hour show from 1 to 3 leading up to Lakers Sixers. Leading
nice.
Up to Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid.
Well, we are... That's that we're leading up to that, and I'm telling you, we're gonna bring it that day.
And we're gonna be together at the Black Gold Golf Course.
Yep.
And you know how like when you and me get together, we like to do something kind of goofy?
Some kind of bit.
Right. Like John, did you see the twerk off?
Mm-hmm.
I commented on the twerk off. Yeah, Cap, I thought you did the best of staying kind of within yourself. I thought you your form was solid. Mason looked like he was trying to poop something out.
Wow.
I thought.
Wow.
But
you don't understand why I won, right?
Yeah, because you kind of went for it more.
Yeah, went for it more.
Well, I feel like I was trying to be more of a twerking purist.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Because, John, I have gone back. What happens is, you notice how, like on Twitter, I heard you guys talking earlier about the different colors now of your check marks?
I have a gold check mark.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
Mazel tov.
Not a lot of people have gold check marks.
I checked mine when I heard you say it.
Elon started that at 1 o'clock today, and immediately I get a gold check mark.
I'm still blue. So somebody today liked the tweet that ESPN LA sent out of you and me twerking.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I see myself more as a purist of a twerker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are an outside the box sort of thinking
exactly.
twerker, right? So I feel like I held on to my twerk.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I've seen the film now a few times.
Yeah.
I mean, I look terrible.
Well, I mean, we both look awful. I'm
look
just going to be honest.
So utterly unathletic.
Yeah, I looked terrible. I agree with John. I look like a dog trying to pinch one off. And it's, I'm gonna dump
I that. Look like a, I don't know why, because that was great.
I dumped myself on that.
You dumped yourself, which is great based on what you were talking about.
A little too far, maybe.
I like the self-editing, by the way. I don't have that.
That's the first time. I haven't done that in a long time.
You know, Laura dumped me yesterday.
Yep.
And as she dumped me, I was saying to her, what's the big deal? Come on, give me a break. And George, Laura, and Lindsay are all like, Cap, we're trying to protect you from yourself.
It's
okay?
True.
Trust us.
Trust. Guardrails.
She said trust. Once she said trust, that changed everything.
So you know this, when I worked in New York, you worked in New York. Were Opie and Anthony doing afternoons?
Yes, they were.
Okay. So they had a dump button in the program director's office.
Yes, that's right.
And in the general manager's office. That's right.
They could dump at any time.
they could dump at any moment. Anybody could hit the dump button.
Right.
All the way to the top. That's how out of the box. John, don't you think that was an appropriate use of a dump button?
No, I would have left it.
Me too.
Yeah,
me
too. But I always, you know, in the history of Mason and Ireland, I've hit the dump button maybe once ever.
You don't know some of the rules, I think.
Yeah, you err on the side of caution.
I like to protect you from you also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But right. It doesn't happen that. That's the first time we've had a hit the dump button in a really long time.
Really long time. Yeah. Like I said, Laura hit it for me yesterday and told me trust.
Yep.
Because at first I was like, no, come on, you don't need to dump that.
You know, isn't it so depressing that Captain and Tennille got divorced?
No way. When did that happen?
Years
ago. 2014.
I was going to say. Okay. Like, but, is that contemporary?
Well, no. Here's what it is.
Tell me.
I believe in love.
I know. I've heard.
John does not. Bergman does not.
I don't think that's a fair characterization.
No, they believe
of John.
In money. They look, believe in money.
No, I think you
love.
Cannot have love without money. That's the difference between Mason.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay.
Can't have love without money. That is so no. sad. So I've been playing that song.
One would drop you like a hot potato if you weren't rich.
That is absolutely untrue.
100% true. If we did a Trading Places type experiment.
Yeah.
Where you became Billy Ray Valentine and you would lose everything. Or no, it was Lewis Winthrop who lost everything, right?
Okay. Karate Cap? Man bruise on the inside.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mace, we made you desolate out in the street and you were drunk eating fish from the head, dressed like Santa in the middle of the street. Juan would leave you.
Well, I mean, honestly, that scenario,
yeah, maybe
I would leave me too.
Yep.
If it ever gets to that point, please, I would tell Juan to leave.
See, Bergman and I are just realists. We're honest.
Yeah, but the statement that you can't have love without money is obviously not true.
No girl will go out with a guy who's broke.
It's happening as we speak to people who are listening right now.
No, disagree.
There are a lot of people who don't have a lot of money who are dating right now and having a life, and they don't need money to date.
Yeah, but you know what? The girls who are dating those guys have?
What?
Side piece.
Mm.
Boy, you are so cynical.
Wow, very cynical.
Very cynical.
Because, I just tell the truth.
No, here's the thing.
It is Tuesday.
My friend Glenn just texted me. No money, no honey.
Glenn's got a side.
You're right, Glenn.
Glenn's got a side piece.
No, he doesn't need one. He's got his hands full.
So you're saying if Glenn went broke, his girl would leave him?
She may be too far invested. He's been married for like 20 years.
See, I've been together with Juan for 16 years. It would take more than going broke to send him away.
Nope.
Nope. John Ireland says no.
You don't want to find out, trust me.
Would Rachel be with you if you were...
Zero chance.
Poor?
So here's the thing. If you don't have money,
yep.
or let me say this from a guy's perspective. If you don't have as much money as your girl does, then you better make up for the delta between your money and her money. You better make up for it somewhere else.
So are you saying Rachel is rich?
Saying Rachel is successful.
Wait, really. I just heard Sedano. Sedano will agree with me. George, girls aren't going out with losers that have no money.
Mostly not, right? Like, I think most women want someone who is financially.
But there are a lot of working class guys out there who are like, yeah, you mean I can't get a date because I'm a working class guy?
Have money, Mace.
Yeah, but
they do. But not everybody's rich.
By definition, a working class guy has work.
Yeah. You don't have to be rich. You just have to be able to make money.
So I have a friend who says that they don't care about the money as much as they care about the ambition.
True.
Especially when you're younger. You want somebody
with
ambition.
You need a plan.
Ambition. Laura, what? Laura just owned me.
Okay, so ambition's good, but if you don't have action behind that ambition, it don't matter.
Okay, you go, girl.
So I'm just saying.
So, Laura, will you please tell Mason that I'm right, that if some guy has no job and no money, that you're not going out with him?
You're wrong.
Why am I wrong?
Oh, listen, I mean, that was Lindsay.
I just say I have plenty of friends and know plenty of people who get in relationships when they're younger, and this is the problem. They always say never fall in love with someone's potential. Because if they never reach that potential and you're in love with them, you don't want to leave them. Okay, I know a lot of people like that.
You guys are missing my whole point, though. My point is that if the woman is more successful financially than the man, the woman would still consider the man.
Okay.
But the man has to bring something else to the table.
Yes.
And you can probably figure out what that is.
No.
Without it, Okay.
Well, I mean, that's an important element of
that,
it.
I mean, it is. But here's my thing. Like, for me, it's just, you're right, Cappy, right? If the girl makes money, like I always say, I don't need a man to pay for me or anything like that. It's nice if you want to pay for me, but you don't have to because I got me. You don't got to get me. I got
me. I'll pay for you, Laura.
Thank you.
Now, does your delicious smelling boo have money?
No, he's not rich, but he has work.
See?
Working
class.
He's not rich. He's a working person. Yeah.
He's working. He's not rich, but he's working. But he's also very ambitious, but there is action behind his ambition. That's my thing, because he can be ambitious all day, but if he's sitting on his ass, like, then that doesn't matter.
Now, I don't think I've met this guy, have I?
Yes, you have. At the Mandy's.
You met him at the Mandy's.
I did not notice.
How could you not know who the boo is?
I didn't.
The boo has got hair that you will recognize.
He was sitting right behind us.
Now, I just said hair, and I gave you this, and you were like.
You gave me this, and I'm right. I'm pretending to remember.
Okay.
Yeah. Very good.
That's what I'm doing.
Very, very good.
Pretending to remember.
Yeah. Shadana, what are you doing?
I'm in Phoenix because I'm doing the Warriors-Suns game tomorrow, so I flew in a little early to do the show from here. That way I can, because I've got stuff tomorrow at Shoot Around or whatever I got to do for TV, so I figured I'd just get in tonight.
I'm there next Tuesday, George. I missed you by a week.
So did you see what Jay Williams, I mean, I'm going to pivot to sports for a second. So the guys here, Gambo and Burns, the afternoon show, have been here forever. They had me in. Jay Williams said that if I were LeBron, I would consider going to Phoenix and playing with Chris Paul and Devin Booker and that group. That's where I would want to be. I would want to be traded and be traded there when I can be traded next season. And I was just like, okay. So they asked me, like, what do you think? I said, look, do I think, if you would have asked me a month or two ago if they would have considered trading any of these guys other than Russ, like I'm talking about AD or LeBron, I would have said, you're nuts. Do I think they'll at least, if they have a terrible season and they're like the 13th or 14th seed, do I think they will at least consider it? Sure. But with LeBron, it's almost has to be like Inception. You have to make it feel like it's his idea.
Right.
This scenario is my guess.
I don't think you'd have to make it his idea. He'd make it his idea.
Don't you think he kind of has that thought floating around in his head somewhere?
I don't think right now. I think he just has. I think he lets it just kind of play out for a little bit. I mean, if they don't make a deal in February to make this team better and they're not in the playoffs, then I think all bets are off. That's just my personal opinion, just reckless speculation on my part. But I think that everybody needs to, and by the way, I would say this to the Lakers too, that the Lakers and LeBron should revisit that pairing.
But if we get to Christmas, and I don't know how many games is that, Ireland, to Christmas?
Probably around 40, between 40 and 50.
Okay, so between 40 and 50. Let's say we are 10 and, let's say we're 15 and 25.
Yeah, it'll be like 40 games, 35, 40 games.
15 and 25. Do you make a move with a 15 and 25 record?
Well, it just depends what is the 7, 8, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 seed look like. You know what I mean?
But is it worth it to use your assets to get some? Let's just throw out Miles Turner because that name's floating around out there. What's the asset? It's, you've got two number one draft picks. Those are essentially your assets.
What are you getting back as an asset?
Well, let's say it's Miles Turner. Miles Turner would take this team better.
No, I wouldn't do two firsts for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do that.
No, I mean, it makes you marginally better, but it doesn't. Like, I think that they're a play-in team at that point, but are they like a dangerous championship-type team? I don't know.
I think it comes down to either reinforce or rebuild. And I think they are going to opt to, I think they should opt to rebuild.
They're perpetuating the inevitable.
Right.
The inevitable is you have to rebuild at some point because LeBron's going to retire at some point. So when LeBron is done, what do we got then? Which is why they don't want to part with these picks, or at least that's just a read of the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, long story short is, I think that if you're the Lakers, you got to make a move here. To quote the great poet laureate, John Ireland, star-driven town, star-driven town, star-driven town!
Well, they have stars. It's a matter of what you want to compliment them with. Like, if AD plays like he did the other night, it's a different team. But he's not played like that every game.
Right. Well, that's my
and he doesn't play like that every game. We've seen him.
John, I was watching Geeter and those guys and Allie and them after the game. So AD has 4 35-15 games in his career, and which is fine, yeah. But when you compare it to like Shaq, which to me, you know, he's not Shaq apples to apples, but he's such a unique talent, similar to Shaq in that sense. Like, they're both unique, although different. that Shaq had 26 of those in 9 seasons with the Lakers. It's kind of wild, man. Like, AD is capable of doing that way more than what we.
Yeah,
what
he is capable. I mean, we saw it Sunday night. Why don't we see? I think it's a temperament thing, isn't it? Is it a temperament thing that he doesn't have that attack mode in him all the time?
I mean, I think at this stage it may be worth at least. I generally don't like getting into other people's heads, but I think we have enough of a sample size. When everyone is sitting there saying, we need him to be the guy, we need him to be the number one. LeBron has said it. The coach has said it. The front office has said it publicly. Like, everyone has said this publicly, and you're not getting it, then maybe you are right.
And we saw it there. I mean, we saw 10 offensive rebounds, putback dunks. I mean, he was absolutely dominant and attacking.
I mean, I hadn't heard John and Michael, or excuse me, Trudell and Michael make calls like that. Like in, you know, Lord knows. I mean, Michael sounded excited for once. It'd been a while since I heard Michael that excited.
That's because they brought him a bag of chips,
and because AD finally listened to him to get his ass in the post.
Yeah.
Well, I'm an outsider, and I was telling George weeks ago, why does he continue to want to take threes? His best line the other night on the 37-point scoring night was 0-for-0 from three-point range. He should never practice shooting threes because he should never shoot threes in a game ever.
The other,
just wanted to rant like that. I just wanted to kind of go off like that.
The
for
other
a second.
Dynamic about it was one of the reasons he was able to do that in that game on Sunday was they shot 41% from three, which gave him some room to operate. When you're not shooting well, and this is. I think it's fair to say this is not a good shooting team. When you're not shooting well, everybody can sag and clog up the middle, and Anthony Davis can't do what he did on Sunday night.
That's some real basketball analysis right there.
Yeah, too much.
That was really good. That was really coaching kind of.
I apologize.
Dude, you could be a coach. Like, Jeff Saturday could be a coach of the Colts. You could be a basketball coach.
There you go. Right there.
Should be.
Yeah.
Should be.
All right, so
you want to coach? I mean, we can get you to coach like one of the like a kids team. I can find somebody for you to coach.
I'll get you to a JCC in 2 seconds here. You'll be a head coach of a 12-year-old guy's team.
Yeah,
maybe girls.
I'm bad with kids. I just
16-year-old
kid person.
No,
there's a reason I didn't have kids.
Men's leagues at the JCC. Men's leagues. That's for you.
Grown-ups.
Men's leagues.
Grown-up adult human beings that you can have a conversation with.
Right.
Yeah. You can even choose by age group. 60 plus.
Oh, that's my crowd. I want to coach that 60 plus team. That sounds fun,
right?
That sounds fun.
Moisha, pass it to Shlomo. What are you doing? These are my people. This is what I would do.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we're out of here. Ireland, glad to have you back, man.
All right. Tomorrow is another day.
We expect Coach Sean McVay to join us. God knows what we're going to talk to him about. Bad news with Cooper Kupp and all that stuff. Coming up next for you, lots of stupidity, lots of fun, lots of frivolity, as Chris Morales would say, with Shidano and Cappy. Mason in Ireland tomorrow at 1, 7:10 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bing ba da bing do da da ba bing ba da boop do da da da. I'm gonna be honest with you, George Sedano.
Okay, as opposed to when you're not honest with me?
Correct.
Okay. How often are you not honest with me?
Very infrequently.
Yeah, you liar. You're lying right now.
George, I felt so bad about not knowing this song yesterday.
You did.
I felt so guilty. Like, everybody was like, dude, how do you not know this song?
Dude.
I was trying to like figure out what my life was like in 1995. Like what consumed me in 1995 that I wouldn't know such a famous popular song.
I was 17, so you were probably in your 20s. So yeah, I feel, and it's Mariah Carey. So it's not like it was like, and Boys to Men, they were hugely popular.
But it's Boys to Men. Mm-hmm. So I will tell you that this guilt that I felt yesterday,
yeah,
I decided to go back and listen to this song and listen probably 200-300 times because I was trying to figure out there's got to be a memory sparked somewhere. I must know this song. How could I not know it?
How can you not?
And I'll tell you, George.
Tell me.
I've never heard the song before yesterday.
At least you're honest.
I swear to God. I'm like, how? I don't know. So yesterday, I started listening to this song. And now I really know this song. And how could I not have known it? What beautiful lyrics.
No way.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful song, dude. You're right.
No, you're shining down on me from heaven. Yeah.
From heaven.
One sweet day. Heaven. One sweet day, yay.
Heaven.
I mean, what a song.
It is a beautiful song.
You guys should do a duet.
No, you and I should do a duet.
Oh, because you heard me singing it?
Because I know you can sing it. Like you're in the shower, girl.
True.
How could I not have known this song? Now it's my favorite song. As far as I know, this is brand new. This joint just dropped. So for me, this is brand new. This is new music right here from Mariah Carey and Boys to Men. What do you think of that, George?
Yeah, really not new.
No, but it's
30 years old.
I know, but if you just moved here from like Venus, you know, you'd be like, yo, that's a nice new song. It's the first time I'm ever hearing it. And that's practically what I've done here. Moved from Venus.
Yeah, well, it seems that way. By the way, I thought today we were going to be able to start with like, because every week, right, there have been the college football playoff rankings right. When we start the show.
Mm-hmm.
This week they started at 9 Eastern, so 6 is not till 6 Pacific.
You're kidding me.
I saw people tweeting out that they were doing it at 7.
I'm looking at ESPN right now, ESPN.com, mm-hmm. And it says rankings reveal 9 p.m. Eastern.
Wow, that's kind of past a lot of people's bedtimes on the East Coast.
They must not have wanted to interfere with the whole MLB announcements.
Well, and there's also, this is a big college basketball week at ESPN. You got Kentucky playing Michigan State, right? Like, there's a lot of big games, like those preseason tournaments. Not preseason, they're like actual regular season tournaments, but you get all these big matchups early in the year. So I think that's part of the equation, too, is that they just figured, hey, a lot of people are going to watch Kentucky, Michigan State. We can just have the thing on after that.
You're saying that you don't want to counter program college football against college basketball and cannibalize both? Is that what you're, I mean, this is like a correct. You're like a programmer right now, George.
I mean, yeah, I mean.
Pretty good.
Sure.
Pretty solid. Let these college basketball games play out, and then we'll do the college football.
But I will say this. There are a couple of things I do want to talk about in regards to that, though.
Okay.
Do you think USC has a good enough resume right now to be in the college football playoff?
Probably not, based on the way things have gone so far in the conference that we talked about yesterday.
Right. And by the way, still a chance, right? Because they're going to play a ranked UCLA team, a ranked Notre Dame team, and probably, my guess is, a ranked Oregon team in the Pac-12 championship.
Right. So there's
if they get there.
There's still opportunity.
Yeah.
But remember, UCLA's ranking now is, as I recall, it's 12.
It's 16 now.
Okay, 16. Thank you.
They were 12. Yeah.
Thank you. And Notre Dame, where are they right now? Like
18.
Okay, so you're not playing against somebody ahead of you. You're not playing against the number two team.
They won't do that.
Right, and they won't get that opportunity. Now,
maybe Oregon, just maybe, but I don't think so.
But Oregon's resume is no longer any good.
Well, because, right, they lost to Washington. Now they're screwed.
Right. Yeah. And just the same way Arizona beat UCLA, UCLA does nothing to help USC, which is fine for UCLA fans, of course.
Right.
So, can USC get there? Sure. You know what it's going to require? An upset ahead of them. Like, have you looked at TCU's schedule?
So TCU needs to lose, right, obviously, at this point, to get the Trojans in. They have Baylor. Not easy at Baylor. Iowa State. You know what I mean? Like, they're not that good this year. So that should be a win. But even though Baylor's had a disappointing year, like, that's a good team. Like, Dave Aranda's a good coach. They're 6-4, but not a great year for them. But they can definitely take you out. Like, I don't think there's any question about
that. I would say the most impressive win so far this year for TCU has been against Tarleton. Anybody? Anybody ever hear of Tarleton?
I mean, that was like the second team they played, this year.
Right. Tarleton is 5-5 in the WAC. I've never heard of Tarleton before, but here's the point about TCU. They've beaten Oklahoma. They've beaten Kansas. Oklahoma State was 8 when they beat them. They've beaten Kansas State, and they've beaten Texas. All of those teams, George, are in the 17, 18, 19 range.
Right.
So I don't know how TCU elevated so fast and up to the top where they are.
But they're also undefeated in a Power 5 conference, so I think that helps them. If TCU goes undefeated and they don't get in over a one-loss SC team or a one-loss SEC team in Tennessee or even a two-loss LSU team, then you know, you're going to have a lot of people upset. Like, there's people are going to be pissed.
Well, rightly so, because they think they're the big time.
Well, because they're just, first of all, the Big 12's fighting for its own life, right?
Of course.
And you have, much like the Pac-12, by the way, not that USC has to worry about that or UCLA anymore, but yeah, they're fighting kind of for their own lives. Well, now, none of this will matter in like 3 years when they're doing 12 teams, but for now, this is going to be a big deal. Like USC, where they're ranked, and, you know, my guess is they'll be like 6 or 7. That's still within striking distance with a couple weeks to go.
Yeah, I got to start looking ahead at these schedules. You know, like, what's going to happen this weekend, USC, UCLA. Then what's going to happen in the next couple of weekends? Obviously, USC, Notre Dame, a game we're talking about. But who else in the top has a chance to possibly get knocked off in the next couple of weeks, if at all?
I mean, look, Tennessee probably has a chance to get knocked off. I don't think, like I said, I think TCU, actually they don't. They play, well, South Carolina maybe, but they're not that good this year. And Vandy, I know they just beat somebody, but they're not good at all. Michigan and Ohio State will play each other.
Okay.
There's that.
Mm-hmm.
But the loser will say, well, our loss is better than a two-loss Utah team. That's what this starts to boil down to.
Well, listen, if USC were able to finish off the season with one loss and they were able to win the Pac-12 championship and they don't get into the playoff, okay?
Right.
It has been a great season for USC football. It's been a resurgent season for USC football. And B, even as you might be pissed that you're not in the playoff, this is exactly why you're leaving the Pac-12. You're leaving the Pac-12 to go play against the teams like Ohio State and Michigan, because when you win that conference, you're in.
You're in. You're in for sure. Yeah. By the way, the experts are picking against USC this weekend. I'll tell you what that's all about on the other side. Oh, geez, Nickelback. It's all up Cappy's alley right here.
I love this song.
I'm sure you do.
I got no problem admitting openly that I love this song.
Yeah,
I have no problem with it at all. I feel no shame for being a fan of this song. Now, if you would have said to me, who does Chad Kroeger sing for? I would have had no idea who that is.
Because you didn't know that was the lead singer of Nickelback?
No idea.
Mm.
But I do like the song.
I did put it on the rundown, by the way. Just saying, next to his name, says Nickelback.
Yeah, no, I see that.
Okay, just saying.
Of course I see that.
Because I didn't know. I mean, I guess I would probably be like, I recognize the name, but I don't know why.
If you would have put Chad Kroeger and you didn't put Nickelback, I wouldn't know who he was.
That's what I'm saying. I probably wouldn't have known that either if I didn't, you know.
You're not alone, Cappy. You're not alone on this one.
Chad Kroeger.
I mean, I bet you most people that aren't actually like big-time fans of Nickelback wouldn't know that that's the lead singer's name.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, does Nickelback have any other songs besides that song?
Yeah, the big one was, This Is How You Remind Me.
Oh, I love that song. How I Remember Enough.
Yeah.
This is how you remind me.
I actually know that song.
And there was the Superman song, right? Or what that was it? Was that the Superman song?
That was, it wasn't.
The Spider-Man song is the one we just heard.
Okay.
Yeah, Hero. Yeah. Hero is the Spider-Man
Didn't
song.
Didn't they sing when I get... No, that's not Nickelback. That's someone else, I think.
By the way, do you like a good bundt cake?
I do, because I like the red velvet with the cream cheese frosting. Can you feel me on that?
You know what I think of when I think of bundt cakes? Did you ever watch the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
I have seen that.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of. Yeah, it reminds me of that. It reminds me of just like that movie. Because his white parents come to the Greek party and they bring a bundt cake. And they're like, oh, you brought a cake. And they're like, it's a bundt. And they're like, bundt. a bunt? Right? And then they're like, oh, they put like a plant in the middle of it. It's hilarious. That movie's still great, by the way.
I always think of that company, Nothing Bunt Cakes. You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There is that company.
There's that good lemony one that they got. Also with, I think, a little cream cheese kind of frosting thing happening.
I like the one, the first one you mentioned, though. That's the one.
Yeah,
that I like
the red velvet.
What is that? Velvet?
Yeah, right. I went to this Greek restaurant the other day, and first time I was ever there, and the chef is talking me through everything that's going on. Yeah. And then a couple days later, I come back. He goes, hello, my friend, you are back. I went, yes, that's right, I am. He goes, I want you to have the sandwich my way. And I'm like, all right, so I was going to order something else. He goes, no. I'm going to make you the sandwich that I want you to have, and I want you to make it, I'm going to make it my way. So, all right, chef, do whatever you want. And he made this sandwich, George, that was so out of this world and delicious. And so now I'm back to this guy. I'm back to him like 2-3 times a week. Is that good?
I love it.
Yeah.
That's great. Now, here's the thing about Greek places. My favorite, by the way, I was just going to say to you, did you, are they breaking plates and going, opa? But there's, Giannis did that commercial for ESPN where Stephen A. Smith and Neil and Stan are breaking plates, and he looks at them, he's like, you guys realize they don't actually do that in Greece, right? It's really funny. It was very deadpan, but it was very funny by Giannis. So let me do this with UCLA USC, because I want to move on also and talk about kind of what's going on with the Dodgers right now. Mm. Because between Trey Turner's situation and Tyler Anderson moving to the Angels and the potential of adding other guys, I wanted to make sure that we talk about that and give it enough room. But so I looked at the LA Times experts in this situation against USC, and Lindsay sent this to me. So Linz, they all picked against USC. They all think UCLA is going to win the game.
Yep.
Because UCLA in theory is kind of like on top of the rivalry part of it, just like they match up well against USC in theory.
So what you're questioning though is that all these so-called experts, everybody who's been watching these games and these teams all season long, how many people are making predictions here, Lindsay?
So you've got
four, right?
There's the four people who cover them, mm-hmm. which is Ben Bolch, Ryan Karche, I think.
Karche.
Brady McCullough, and Thuk Guyan, and then Plaschke,
Gwynn.
Too. Sorry.
Yeah, Gwynn.
Yeah, I didn't know how to
pronounce it. That's five. So five. Even Plaschke.
Yeah. He did a whole column on it.
Wow.
Wow.
His title is USC Football Owns Los Angeles, but UCLA Will Own This Year's Rivalry Game.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He always has
it's
good
It's sold out. Sold out at the Rose Bowl.
Can I tell you guys that I received a direct message on Instagram from a Circle of Trust member. Mm-hmm. I don't know who this person is, but I'm saying that he's in the Circle of Trust because, you know, I mean, I know he's a 710 listener. I know he's a Sedano and Cap listener. Texted me last night at 11:08 p.m. I received it this afternoon. He says, what's up, Kaplan? Hey, I'm sorry I'm messaging you a little late tonight, but I was just wondering if you were going to be in Pasadena for the Rose Bowl this weekend for the USC-UCLA rivalry game. I'm asking because myself and about five or six people are looking for a tailgate to go to where there is a television because we're planning on watching the game from the golf course rather than be inside the stadium. We're bringing food and drinks and alcohol and stuff, but we just need a tailgate to go to. So what's going on, Kaplan? This is what's happened in the Hey King universe that I'm living in right now, George.
Good for you, buddy.
Where now the 710 listeners are like, yo, Saturday, you at this game? Because I want to come to a tailgate party. Now, if you
tailgate... What are you going to do?
Well, hold on. Here's the thing. If I go to a tailgate party and I do not have a television, then this guy right here, his name is Jeff. Jeff and his people will not come to my tailgate party because they are demanding that if they're going to come, I must have a television for them. Did you get that from the message?
Yeah, I got that now. But by the way, haven't you been to a tailgate where they have TVs?
Of course.
Okay.
What I'm saying
especially
to you
nowadays.
Is, but this guy is demanding that if he's going to come to a tailgate party that I'm having at USC-UCLA at the Rose Bowl,
but
I must have a television for him.
What? That's not what I got out of that.
Here, you can read it for yourself.
Okay, read it one more time.
Hey, Kaplan, sorry I'm messaging you a little late tonight, but I was just wondering if you were going to be in Pasadena for the Rose Bowl this coming weekend for the USC-UCLA rivalry game. He goes on to say, I'm asking because myself and about five or six people are looking for a tailgate to go to where there is, IS in caps, is a TV because we plan on watching the game from the golf course as opposed to going inside the stadium. So this gentleman, Jeff, and his five or six friends are asking me, hey, you having a tailgate, and does it have a TV? If it does, we'll come. If it doesn't, we ain't coming to your tailgate.
Yeah, he was asking that. You said he's demanding that you have a TV at your tailgate, which he doesn't even know whether or not you're having one.
Right.
Right. But what he's saying is that I'm not going to bring my six friends to your tailgate if you don't have a TV.
But are you having a tailgate?
No.
Are you even going to the game?
No.
Okay, well, then I don't... I feel like he should have just asked if you're going to be there first. And
right,
then,
that probably should have been the first question.
Right, yeah. And then continued on with the Hey King.
Well, that's what's going on here now.
No offense here, buddy, but I feel like you kind of like, you know, blew your shot.
And who is this guy?
His name's Jeff.
I think Jeff blew his shot.
Now, I got another one from somebody today in the Circle of Trust, and they want me to get them tickets to the Taylor Swift concert at SoFi Stadium because I mentioned that I'm trying to get management here at 710 to give me the suite one of the nights of the Taylor Swift show so that I can entertain a bunch of teenage girls. They're all my daughters.
Have
by
you
the way.
Seen the whole debacle with that going
catch.
On?
Good catch, right?
He did. Yeah. Good catch. Yeah, and she God. Did crash Ticketmaster.
Yeah. There's like people, nobody got tickets. It was a big thing. I was going to bring it up in like, you know, Radio Tinder or. Big deal or no deal, but like it was a whole thing where people are like outraged once again at Ticketmaster because all the bots got the tickets and none of the fans got the tickets, and it was a whole thing.
Oh, like the bots bunny. Are out of control.
Yeah.
But you know what's weird is like you have to pre-register, which I had to do this the other day for Garth Brooks because he's doing a residency in Vegas, and now you have to like pre-register just to be able to get a link to buy the tickets.
Yep. You do.
Because they do that to try and prevent the bots, but the bots still got all the tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Ticketmaster, get it together.
Yeah, it's weird.
Oh, do better.
Yeah, I told you. I tried to get Depeche Mode tickets for Ticketmaster, and I kept losing out on tickets left every 2 seconds. Like, the bots were just scooping them up.
Come on.
And it was a pre-sale thing.
Dude, it sucks.
Yeah, today was the pre-sale. The real sale for Taylor Swift isn't even until Friday. Today's like...
Right, but the real sale, there's probably going to be like 2,000 tickets left.
Right, you know?
And it's going to be all resale from the people with all the bots that got them today.
Come on,
Ticketmaster. And then you're going to... Dude,
by the way,
so bad.
Do better.
During the pre-sale, there was already bots... when I was trying to get Depeche Mode tickets for the forum, there was already bots who had already bought them and then started reselling during the presale already.
Well, somehow, this is all the fault. This whole conversation I blame on Jeff, who was asking about the tailgate party for UCLA.
Yeah, that you're not having.
Well, because you were about to say that all the so-called experts are picking UCLA to win.
The local experts are picking UCLA to win. And I know that, I don't know what he's picking now, but Joel Klatt, of Fox Sports, I remember listening to his podcast a few weeks ago, and he said that he felt like UCLA was a bad matchup for USC. So, yeah, there's a lot of people that are on that bandwagon. You know what I mean?
I'm making my call right now.
Okay, do it.
Okay, here it goes.
Yeah.
USC wins decisively.
No, I don't know about decisively.
Yeah, here's why. Here's my thinking.
What's decisively?
Two scores.
So like 10 points at least.
Yeah, I mean, at least 10 points. But I'm going to say USC wins this game decisively.
What's the line on that game?
Let me know. Because USC, not that the new quarterback and new coach were here for the beatdown last year, but they are playing for positioning USC. UCLA at this point, this season's over. And what I mean by that is they're still going to go to a bowl game and it's still going to be wonderful. What a great experience for the fans and the players and the coaches and the program. It's great. But in terms of trying to battle into the playoff or at least get into the conversation, that's over. USC is playing for that. UCLA, they know their season is now over in terms of the playoff.
Yeah. Okay.
So that if they got caught looking ahead last week or they got caught underestimating their opponent last week, I think USC goes in focused and USC wins decisively.
I don't know, man. I don't think they win decisively. I think they should win the game, but I don't know about decisively. I'm trying to find the line. I still haven't found it. Just give me a second here. Oh, here we go. By the way, our guy Balake.
Yeah.
You know, Harris Highlights. You know, not only is he a Dodger insider, but he's got the Harris Highlights YouTube page. Here's what he says about UCLA's chances at the moment. He says USC is going to have to win out and need LSU to lose another game, likely in the SEC title game, TCU to lose before the Big 12 title game, and Ohio State to blow the doors off of Michigan.
Just got distracted thinking to myself for a second here that maybe I will have a tailgate party at USC.
By the way,
it's only two and a half. USC's favored by 2.5.
I'll take USC to cover.
It opened at 5.5 and dropped to 2.5. That means everybody is pounding UCLA early.
Laura's mad at me. She's like, no, mm-hmm. Cap, no. No, she's a Bruin fan.
Mm-hmm. I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm mad at you.
I know.
You like getting me mad.
I think I'm gonna. I think I may have a tailgate party this weekend.
I would have liked to have.
Seriously,
UCLA
I think I'm gonna do it.
5.5.
I think I'm gonna do it.
See, you thinking about that? I'm thinking I should have taken UCLA at 5.5. What the hell was I waiting for?
I think I'm gonna have a tailgate party with a TV, and I'm gonna invite Jeff and his 6 friends. I think I'm gonna do it.
Why don't you invite us?
No, you guys too.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm gonna go to the game.
Yeah,
I'm going
appreciate
to the game
that.
Too.
I'm gonna
I
go
actually
game
won't
Mace.
Be able to be there though.
Oh, you can't be there.
Why?
I'm in Eugene. That
oh, that's
doing
right.
The game for ESPN Radio.
Gosh darn it! Wait, so you're available, Laura?
Yeah.
Okay, and Linz, you're available?
I'm going to the game with Mace.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Mace just
You're going to the game with Mace?
Yeah, because Greg was supposed to go and bring his daughter, but it's her birthday, and she doesn't want to go to the game. So then Mace was like, well, I have 2 extra tickets.
Yeah, and Mace invited me, so
then
I'm
I was
take
like,
the ticket.
I was
oh,
like,
wow,
okay.
I don't have a ticket yet. Okay, I need to get one. I'm
oh, you
to...
want my ticket?
No, I don't want
bad.
I thought you just said that you were having a party
yeah.
at
yeah,
home.
Yeah,
I didn't say I was going to
the
game.
What's wrong with you?
I said I was having a tailgate. I'm going to hang out with Jeff and his people at the golf course and watch the game on the TV that I'm providing.
And then you're just going to walk into Boney's.
Yeah, I was going to say, why don't you just call Boney?
Why don't I just do that? Yeah. I mean, I'm going to walk in with the USC band. I'll walk in with Lincoln Riley.
No.
You know? No, you're not doing that. No. Lincoln Riley wants nothing to do with us.
Perhaps.
I think Lindsay tried to request him multiple times, and he didn't want to come. He's very serious right now. He's very focused on the team.
In fact, the day that we were going to have him on, he was actually on ESPN on TV that day, right across the street at LAPC.
Yeah.
But he didn't have time for us.
Wouldn't it be great if I walked in with Lincoln Riley and they're like, there's the coach walking in with, I don't know who that dude is next
the
to him.
Special teams coach.
Right, that's
you.
That's me.
Can't you be a special teams coach?
Hey, if Jeff Saturday can go from ESPN to the head coaching job, I can easily go to the special teams coaching job of USC. Very easily.
All right. Now, can you be a pitching coach? Because the Dodgers could use some people in regards to, I know that wasn't their biggest issue, but they've now lost a pitcher who helped them get to the postseason and perform fairly well during this season. But they're on the radar, Cappy, for one of the hottest potential pitching players that will tote the mound this season. Sorry about that. And it's not a name you've heard of. So right now, when I tell you this name on the other side, you're gonna tell me, I've not heard of that name. And you're right, because very few people have actually heard of this name. But okay. I'm going to give it to you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
We're doing it next. Cappy, one of the days that you surprised me the most was when you knew who E-40 was.
E-40?
Yeah.
That's the spray, right?
Come on.
That's a good one, Dad. It's only something my dad would say.
E-40, that's
Paula
that stuff
Abdullah
that...
Paula the Butcher.
Yeah, that's that stuff that you spray when something's rusty, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, not that. E-40.
Oh, E-40.
From the Bay.
Got it.
Yeah.
You did the. Remember when you did that weird "I Wanna Dance" video with your little wine, and then we did the remix with this song.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Then you butchered that one too, but you know
that's all right.
It's okay.
That's all right. Mm. Hey, George.
Mm. Yeah.
I gotta tell you something, man. I'm hurting real, real bad today.
Oh, for the love! You're always hurting, dude. Oh, what's the problem now?
All right. So here's what happened. You ready?
Don't tell me you did more working out.
Yeah. So Sunday. I told you, I went for my first run in a long, long time.
Right. You missed the witching hour and you had to watch it back later.
Right. I went out for whatever reason. Minnesota and Buffalo are getting down to the wire and I'm like, I got to go out for a run. Because I made a commitment to a friend.
Rachel told you the time needed to work out.
Right. She said, you can't work out at 8:30 in the morning because on Sunday mornings, we're going to have coffee in bed and then we're going to go for a walk and then we're going to go for breakfast. And then...
Can I interrupt you for a second before you tell me why you're hurting? Because I do want to get to this Dodgers thing. But... when you're having coffee in bed, like what is that? Are you having like a conversation? Like what are you doing there?
Yeah, we're up in the morning. We're talking about our day.
In bed?
Yeah, oh yeah, in bed. Coffee.
With the coffee?
Coffee in bed. Bumping, bump. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so a little coffee in bed and then we went, you know, walk and then breakfast. And with breakfast, you know, she needs a couple of mimosas. And then once she has a couple of mimosas, then I can go put her to bed for another 2 hours. She can take a nap for the afternoon and then I can go out and run. That was the deal.
Right. So anyway, you're hurting. Why are you hurting now?
So I ran on Sunday.
Yeah.
4 miles, which is not really running. It's kind of jogging.
Yeah.
And I was committed to get on the Peloton yesterday, get back on the road this morning. Yeah. Well, with my daughter now having her driver's license, mazel tov, right? I decided to go out for a run this morning.
Okay.
I used the Peloton app. My man, Alex Toussaint and Ashton Kutcher, doing an interview while running on treadmills. I'm outside listening to the music in the interview. It's like a half a podcast, half a spin class, and I'm out running this morning.
Okay.
I got 4 more miles of road work in this morning.
And now you're hurting even more.
George, I can't even walk. I can't even sit down on a toilet.
What
seriously.
Did you do?
I just, my legs are so sore because I'm just getting back into running.
Well, why did you just do 4? Why didn't, couldn't you just start with something simple like 1 or 2?
No. I mean, I'm
extra. Hello.
I'm like trying to cut myself down because I think I should go out and do like 6 or 10. So 4 is like, okay, I'm going to get myself back into it. George,
right, but you're not capable of doing even 4 well at the moment.
Yes, but I'm going to power through it until I'm really good at 4. I got to pick up my pace and whatever and get back to it where I look like I'm running, not speed walking. But I'm telling you right now, dude, I am hurting bad. Oof. Legs hurt so freaking bad, dude.
Ay, Dios mío.
Do you get shin splints, Cappy?
I do not. Thank goodness.
I always got shin splints from...
Yeah, shin splints will get me after a while on the pavement. It's why I don't run on pavement anymore.
Well, Cappy, you know, you said that you're hurting, but depending on where you're hurting, if it's like your knees or even like I said, shin splints or like your ankles, you might just need like specific running shoes. Do you have like good running shoes?
I have pretty good running shoes, but it's my Quadzillas and my hamsters.
Okay.
You know, and my Abadabas.
Well, I would say I used to get all kinds of weird, you know, joint pains and shin splints and whatnot. And then I went to Brooks and had them like custom make me, like you step your feet on like the foam thingy.
Yeah, I know it.
And then they make you like custom shoes based on where your arches are and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And they made a huge difference. And I would not get as sore after running. So you should think about that.
I know, but it's
there you go, Cappy.
It really just is the 2 runs, you know, and that I haven't run in so long.
Well, that was my problem too. I would like train for like a 5K and then I wouldn't run for like 6 months.
Train for a 5K?
Yeah.
Train for a 5K.
Well, I mean, I'm not somebody.
Well, sorry, dude. Not all of us do the Kona Ironman. You know what I mean? Right. Like 5K
if you
not
don't
easy
run for
everybody.
6 months, like you kind of need to build back up to it.
Last time I ran was a 10K. I just went
and
out and
probably
did it.
Couldn't do that tomorrow.
No, I could easily do it tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Well, right. Then, except you wouldn't be able to walk the next day.
Right. I can't walk right now.
Right. So there you go.
You're a better man than me, Cap.
Yeah. You know who's walking?
Thanks, Linz. Tell me.
Just saying.
Well, it's actually driving down the 5 is Tyler Anderson. You see this kid? He went to the Angels. What the hell?
Well, from what I had read, they offered him a 3-year, $39 million contract. So
yeah, the Dodgers was a 1-year, $19 million deal or something like that. Yeah.
I mean, if it were me, I'd probably want to take the 1 year and the $19 million and be on the Dodgers and have a chance to go play for a championship. But he's decided, you know
what? No, you wouldn't. You would take the guaranteed money.
Well, no, the thing is that I would bet on myself and I'd say, I'll take the 1 year, $19 million contract and play for the big boys and get all the exposure and have a chance to win a championship. And then next year, assuming I perform, then I'm going to get that 3-year, $60 million deal. But he decided, I think, to say, wait a second, this is my chance to kind of strike it big. I don't know how long I've got in baseball. So what the heck, man? I'll take the 3 years and the $39 million, and I don't have to go very far.
Well, Cap, he's 32 years old. He's kind of seen as like a journeyman guy who had a really good year.
Which take
is
the money.
Which is why you take the money.
Yeah, I would definitely take the money. And credit to Bergman, he was saying that exact thing like, well, you know, with the qualifying offer being what it is, I'm sure there's going to be somebody out there who gives him like a 2 or 3 year deal. And he was right, and they did, and I'd take that too.
Listen, if I'm the Angels and I can get 80% out of Anderson from what he was last year for the Dodgers, 80%. I've improved my pitching staff dramatically.
Yeah, he's better than everybody but Otani, basically, at that point.
Right, and I'm saying 80%. If for some reason this gives him the confidence and the resources to take his game to the next level and you get 110% of what he was last year, you just scored big time, because $13 million in the open market of baseball, that's very inexpensive for a top 3-4 starting pitcher.
By the way, do you know the Dodgers are, I told you, they're in on another pitcher, though.
Yeah, and you said we wouldn't know his name.
You wouldn't, because I don't think you're watching like the Japanese league or anything like that. So there is a Japanese sensation coming to the majors. His name is Kodai Senga. And according to John Morosi, Senga, who's a 29-year-old Japanese star pitcher, is currently revealed three other teams in addition to the Angels and Dodgers who have been linked already to Senga. So it's basically down to these five teams at the moment. Ready? Angels, Dodgers, Rangers, Mariners, Blue Jays.
Hmm.
Now, Rangers is the one that's weird to me for whatever reason. I don't know that. Like, I can make the case for the Mariners. They're good. They made the playoffs. They're a young team. They're up and coming. Huge Japanese contingent there in regards to population, much like here, right? Like a huge Asian community. I'm surprised San Francisco is not on that list personally, but just based on that, Toronto, super eclectic as well in regards to their background, and they're also really good, right? Like the Angels, not so good. The Dodgers, good. Mariners, good. Blue Jays, good. I guess people feel like the Angels can turn it around quickly because they already have Ohtani.
Yeah, but
well, because they already have Ohtani.
Yeah,
Trout.
but we talked about this.
I don't think they can.
Yeah, but they're going through an ownership change, so I don't know who's got control of the checkbook.
Yeah, who's signing
with the
off on these things?
Right. That's my question. Yeah. So if I were this kid, I mean, the Angels wouldn't even be on my radar right now, just given the organizational circumstances that are going on.
But I think if you're him, I'm sure he'd want to play with Ohtani.
Well, that's probably the only thing that's got him thinking about the Angels.
Yeah.
By the way, the Angels may not be thinking about him.
Yeah. By the way, career 2.42 ERA in the Japanese League. 104 wins in the Japanese League. He's legit. Like, I'm looking at these numbers. They're impressive.
You know, so George, you're right. I'm not watching a lot of the Japanese league.
I'm not either. But I'd heard of his name, but now I'm looking at the actual numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about a dude who strikes out 150, plus batters every year. That's good.
It is. But isn't the Japanese league? Correct me if I'm wrong, everybody. But isn't the Japanese league like, would you call it AAA level? Is it really on par with Major League Baseball?
No, it's not on par with Major League Baseball, but I mean, I think that, you can extract. I think, look, there are plenty of scouts in Major League Baseball that go over there to scout these guys and know if they'll translate or not. And for the most part, there are a few exceptions to the rule, but I would say the majority of the Japanese players that have come over have done very well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying I haven't seen them. That's all I'm saying.
I know, I said that in the last segment, that you wouldn't have seen him.
Well, I wouldn't have seen him, and I wouldn't have known who he was.
Yeah. We got a break, Happy.
All right, let's do it.
Can you just trust?
Trust.
Okay. All right, let's talk more about the Dodgers pitching situation. Also, let's get into what the Rams really need to do now with this Cooper Kupp unfortunate situation with the injury. Let's get to all that coming up. Kirk Morrison's going to join us at 5:15. We'll talk football with him. A lot of NFL stuff we can get to with him, and college for that matter, because he does both. So we'll get into all that stuff coming up with Kirk at 5:15. Stick around, 710 ESPN.